everybody, and welcome back to Android App Addicts, episode 443. I am your host, Mark, the Sultan of the Soapbox Cockerel, and this is the show where we talk about Android apps, Android phones, Android hardware, Android rumors, and other stuff, too. And the guys who are always here to, of course, bring you the goods are your friends and mine, Mr. Door-to-Door Geek Steve McLaughlin and the executive, Eric Ardini. Hey, gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. What's happening?
You know, I don't even know anymore. I have so many kids and so many women in my life. I ask them what's happening.
Are they back to school yet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're almost into week three. Yeah.
Wow.
What changed since last week? Did your wife visit a adoption agency or something?
Well, no, it's just, you know, Ford's a lot.
Yeah. There's a reason why a pair of scissors and me had a long talk a couple years ago.
Yeah, well, not going to go there.
Okay. And I was going to say, Mark, your poster is actually coming through pretty good on the blue screen because we can't use green screens. We're using blue screen. And your poster is actually coming across pretty good.
Nice. Nice. If you watch the live video, all three or four of you that do, I've been upgrading my new studio a little bit, and instead of just the sterile blue background, I've been adding some color, some fun, because, you know, why not? And so I've got some Star Wars figures there. I've got Kung Fury, and there will be more to come.
So what's the point of the blue screen? Aren't we supposed to be using the blue screen to superimpose things behind you?
Yeah, I know. I'm not playing nice. I admit that, but
okay. All right.
Well, it isn't like he has fan back there or kids doing jumping jacks.
And it's not like he really brings that many apps anyway that would be showing up behind him.
That's a good point.
As he's talking about them.
That was a low blow.
And this week, all the emails are cardboard giveaway, cardboard giveaway, cardboard giveaway. So I have no emails. So I'm just going to be back in the corner taking a nap. You guys do
nice.
Your thing.
Okay, well, Eric, do you have all these emails queued up and ready to go?
Do I have them all queued? That's not my job, Door.
Then I'm going to guess we're going to give it away next weekend then.
Oh, no, I can do a search for cardboard in my Gmail real quick, right?
Of course, yes, sure. Why? Go ahead, yeah.
How hard could that be?
Go ahead.
So there are only five of them tagged in my inbox with AAA, but there may have been others sent to you.
Yeah, sure, go ahead, Eric. We have all day, go ahead.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said next week.
One more week, people. One more week. How'd that happen?
Because we're so well organized, we purposely misled the listener to give them every opportunity possible.
Yeah, that's what we'll go with. And this was planned.
Five. I see five also.
All right, so Door, pick a number between one and five.
No, I'm 99% sure there's more than five.
All right, one more week, I guess.
Hey guys, you got another week to get the spiffy cardboard free for you.
I did get the correct mailer for it today. Something else came in the mail that cardboard's going to slide perfectly into. So that was good. They're good to wait till now for that. Okay. Sorry to keep everybody hanging, though. That's kind of crazy. So last week I was at a public function. I couldn't make it to the show. So thanks for not, you know, berating me too badly while I was gone. I do listen to the shows that I miss. And when I'm not here, I do miss it.
Okay, well, I think the first app we have to talk about, and just to get it out of the way, quote-unquote, is the Google Duo, the quote-unquote FaceTime / Skype / WhatsApp video chat, whatever you want to call it, personal video chat that connects with people via phone numbers, not in the traditional Google method, which is typically your Google account. Eric, do you have any thoughts or impressions about it?
Well, this is the video phone that we've been promised for the last 25 years.
The question is, does anybody actually want a video phone?
Well, if you are in love with somebody far away, you probably do.
No, they do. We don't, but people do.
Right.
And by people, I mean 14-year-old girls.
Well, you know, I get it. If I understand FaceTiming with the grandkids and that sort of stuff, but that's not a video phone. So, you know, what we were promised was flying cars, aluminum costumes, and video phones, like in the house. And you know, so the real question is, does anybody want a full-time, always-on video phone, or do we actually just want to be able to turn it on once in a while? You know, like what we've got is.
You can't be all the time because you're not always. I mean, we're born with outclose.
Because, you know, in the Jetsons, there was the video phone. That was their phone. And when Jane had her hair up in a bun, she had to put a poster, I think. She had a fake something that she put in front of the camera because it was always on. And, you know, that's what the 60s said we'd be living in.
Well, I'll say you can disable the camera if you want, or show the opposite camera if you want. The nicest way I can put it is, A, this is 2 years too late, if, you know, any. And it's not for us. This is not for normal Android users. This is not for normal Podnuts listeners. This is not for normal people. This is for teens, younger millennials, and those type of people. I don't see anybody, quote unquote, normal or of a normal age looking at this thinking, we finally got it. Here we go.
Now and grandmas.
Yeah,
grandmas
too, though. Lots of man buns and skinny jeans in the pictures.
Well, grandmas, yes, but only with help from their 13 and 14-year-old grandchildren.
Well, once they get it installed and started for the first time, it's going to come in like a phone call. They're going to press a button, and then there's going to be, oh, there's that grandkid on the other side. It's pretty super simple once it's installed.
Well, it is, but I'll also say this. Me and Eric also tried the app Wire, which was created by one of the brains behind Skype, the guy who actually was the guy who wrote the actual codec for Skype. And let me tell you something. When I was on 4G, the performance I was getting with that app blew away what I've gotten most of the time with Duo. Now, with me and Eric, we did, and I got perfect results. But earlier today with my son, I got bad results. You know, the other day I did it with Joel McLaughlin, I got bad results. And the day before that, I did it with Tracy Holtz, and I got bad results. So one out of four times, 24% of the times, I got what I consider to be near pristine results. With Wire, I made at least three calls, and every call was perfect.
And
but,
I know,
but they'll never get the adoption that a Google app has, and this app, Duo, will get no adoption. So,
I do know that both of us were on Wi-Fi. I'm positive I was when we did our test.
Mm-hmm.
But neither of us were on mobile data.
Right, but not with Wire. When I did Wire, right, I was actually on the road in my car. And
now,
what I got was perfect results.
Your other tests on Duo, were they mobile or were they over Wi-Fi?
They were all over Wi-Fi. And I'll say, we just had Google Spaces come out like a month ago. And if you notice, nobody is talking about that app anymore. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt in my mind, in 30 to 60 days from now or less, nobody normal is going to talk about Duo. In maybe 2 or 3 months or 4 or 5 months, we'll be walking somewhere or something, and we might see somebody else using the app, but that's about it.
So my question, guys, if I may jump in here, is why would Google do this when they already have Hangouts?
Well, to quote the tech journalist, because, you know, they know everything, right? They say Hangouts is too difficult. Hangouts is too hard. Hangouts is too clunky. Hangouts is too buggy. Hangouts is too difficult. Hangouts is too ugly. Hangouts is too confusing.
So rather than fix it, we just scrap it and start a new one.
I think of an older person, and I think that's true, Dor. I think of somebody, you know, 20 years older than me. They have smartphones. They've got the new S7. They're not sure why or what it does, but that's what they can't buy a flip phone anymore, so they got this thing. And it's going to be dead simple for them if anybody else uses it. Now, my problem was when I installed it, I went through my entire contact list, everybody who's on my phone, and there was one person who I didn't have to invite, and that was Ken Rakowski, and he's kind of famous. I'm not, and he doesn't know me. I didn't feel right starting my very first chat with him, so I figured I'd wait until somebody I knew had it installed. I didn't want to invite anybody else to it other than like you and Mark. Well, no, I didn't want to, because I don't want anybody else hitting me up with it.
The thing with Hangouts, this is why Hangouts was actually easier. Because if you used it for SMS, for texting, the way it was intended to be, you could be in the middle of a conversation with somebody, or just go open up a previous conversation with them, and on the top bar was a picture of a camera. It was literally one click away. If you were already using it for SMS. Now, if you weren't, which you wouldn't be on any Samsung device or any HTC device or any LG device, because they have to put their personalized, super craptastic 13-year-old girl-loving SMS app on it. And yes, I'm very sorry for pointing out a lot of young pre-adolescent teenagers in this show so far, but because they messed up Hangouts in that way, that's why I see Google forked it off and took it apart, because Hangouts did not get the adoption that they wanted.
Well, Google's been forking its clients for years, so.
Oh my gosh, how did you add that many creatures in 2 seconds? Or you changed your camera somehow, because a second ago it was only Darth Vader and a poster. Now there's a stormtrooper and other little creatures.
Well, those have all been there.
Wow.
Well, and I'll say Hangouts couldn't take off because it took people the activity of going and downloading it on their own. What's the difference with Duo?
Yeah.
I mean, well, unless you own a Nexus.
It's cross-platform, so that's a value.
So with Hangouts.
I'm trying, man. I'm trying to give them some credit.
Well, Hangouts was its main purpose that people would see was replacing something that they already knew worked just fine for them in the SMS.
And Duo is phone only, right? So maybe that's the problem. They're trying to get away from that dual environment. Of course, they're killing Hangouts in general. They're trying to move it as a business tool. And the Hangouts on Air is being rolled into other things. So they actively discourage you from using Google Hangouts as your SMS client anymore. Right. So it's Google Wave all over again. Hey, here's this great thing we're putting everything into, and then on second thought, make it go away.
Exactly. I think the sad part is that they're killing it, not because it's a failing technology, not because it's a flawed technology, not because their servers can't handle it, not because there's better technology out there. It's just to try to make another pitch. It's another sales pitch attempt.
Well, I hope that if they do kill it on my phone, because I've got Google Fi and the Nexus 5X, and they recommended at first to use Messenger or Google Messenger for my SMS, and which did not work. It was horrible. I went that way first. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I won't use Hangouts for SMS. I'll use this thing. It was just junk. And Hangouts works so well on it. As long as they got whatever my replacement is for Hangouts in that way, I hope it works as well as Hangouts does.
Well, that's what Allo is supposed to be. That's the app that's coming out that's supposed to be mobile-only text message or private messaging, chat messaging, however you want to put it. So I do think with the combination of Duo and Allo, that is their first real good, honest attempt to actually kill Hangouts. Now, I really hope on the desktop they leave it or something like it available, because to be honest, on desktop, I've always used Hangouts. I never had a problem with it. On mobile, I understand the problem. On every device I've had, it's always been slow and buggy and laggy. So
if they were going to get rid of Hangouts on the desktop, though, instead of just raping it of all of its features like they recently did, they probably would have just killed it. For some reason, they took all of the good stuff, the little extras that we had used for a couple years at least, and took them away.
But that wasn't them. They didn't create that. The Google Hangouts Toolbox was an add-on from a third party that just created it because Google had an open API to create add-ons or plugins to it. I don't know who else was using it. I know when we used it, I liked it.
Podcasters used it. That's all. Yeah. Podcasters used it. There's a conversation going on in the chat room between PhotoPaul65 and Bodot about various messengers, and they're talking about Facebook Messenger. The point there is there's plenty of competition in this space right now. Everybody wants to be your one true messaging app to rule them all. Facebook Messenger will literally just try to consume your phone and say you are now a Facebook phone. And I've been dragged into it kicking and screaming because they took away the messaging feature of the mobile app. So you can't, or the mobile website. So you can no longer go to m.facebook.com, which is the only way I interact with Facebook on my phone, and send a message. And I needed to communicate with somebody who's only on Messenger. So I installed it. And yeah, the first thing it tried to do was, hey, can we just call all your friends and tell them to download this app? And did Google Duo try to do that?
Not that I'm aware of.
No.
Because Hangouts did.
I had to go on my way to put Duo. And Facebook Messenger is the crappiest piece of garbage I've ever had on my phone. And that's the only reason, not the only, but one of the main reasons I have nothing to do with Facebook in my personal life. It is part of my job now. But I will never install a Facebook app or a Facebook Messenger on my phone again. It was horrible. And it's so, and it's so funny how everybody has the same ringtone. They never change it for Facebook Messenger. Oh, you got a message.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be negative about Duo, but to me, it's way too late. It does nothing spectacular. And I have, the only reason I have it on my phone is so if my son wants to ping me, because he's going to be latchkey kid now. So I want to give him as many possible avenues to contact me as there is. Yeah. And I did Duo ask for permission to view my contacts. Well, it has to. That's like saying I want to install a dialer and it's going to ask for permission to. Yes, of course it is. It needs to know who's calling you. Mm. So, yeah, that's very normal. It didn't ask for permissions, though, to spam your contacts, as we're saying. And it, what it tries to do is it tries to seamlessly let you pick anybody in your contacts. And if they don't have Duo, it will then send them an invite to download
hey,
it. It tries to do that. And I think I'm okay with that.
Yeah, if there was somebody in my contact list that I thought I would want to do that with, I would have hit the invite. I just couldn't think of anybody in there.
So yeah. Just a bit of geekery, I'm noticing in the URL for Google Duo, the app, the name that they've actually given it is Tachyon, which anybody who's ever watched Star Trek knows is a theoretical physics particle that travels faster than light and therefore can go back in time. I don't know what that means, but apparently they initially called the app Tachyon and then later changed it to Duo.
So do you think that maybe you could have saved sessions?
I don't know. So maybe what's going to happen is it's going to retroactively take over Hangouts and Messenger and all that sort of stuff. And we just won't know the difference because it will always have been there.
Well, I know this. If it was still called Tachyon, I think more people would install it. I'm just saying.
Do you think this will help with their facial recognition?
That's all there. They just haven't. They're too scared to turn it on.
I don't think they need any more help with that. I think the only people that need help with facial recognitions are countries and governments.
So Photo Paul wants to know what you didn't like about Google Messenger, Eric. He says it's way better than any stock messaging app.
Depends on the OS.
It may be better than the stock messenger I had on my Note 4. But I couldn't use, and I did use the stock messenger on my Note 4, but I didn't message much. I was not a texter. It's been a year at least. Yeah, it's been about a year, I think, since I got the 5X, and I just, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it wasn't working. So I just went to Hangouts, and it worked great.
You're not the first Nexus user I heard complain about Google Messenger not working right or being very slow, being very laggy. Where on those devices, Hangouts is really almost snappy. Where on other OSs, like my Asus phone, you load up Hangouts, you hit Hangouts, sometimes it takes 3 or 4 or 5 seconds for it to completely load.
Yeah, I would say my only issue I've had on Hangouts is I think one time somebody was trying to call me and somehow there's some kind of weird thing there where it tried calling through Hangouts or I tried calling somebody and it went through Hangouts instead of the dialer somehow. That issue happened twice, and I think maybe with the same person, so I'm not sure. If maybe they got a Gmail account that's saved somewhere in my phone differently and it's something set up to use. I don't know. That's only happened a couple times. Other than that, it's worked pretty well. I mean, it's worked as well. I mean, better than... I don't remember exactly what my problem was on Messenger. I probably talked about it on the show at the time, but I don't remember what it was.
I personally like Hangouts. Use it, like it. But I'm not a big text message guy. I mean, I send text messages. That's probably my primary mode of communication, but I don't really care what the app is. I'm not sending emojis or stickers or whatever. Mm. I've never used a text messaging app that didn't do what I needed it to do. You know, prior to moving to the Nexus 5, I used HandSent. And then on Nexus 5, they said, hey, try Hangouts. I liked Hangouts, so I've been on Hangouts. So, yeah, it's just not a thing for me. Not that anybody asked, but you know, you guys were talking, and I wanted to be a part of it.
You are.
So, what is your first app of the evening?
Oh, okay. My first app is from an old friend developer of the show who I always wanted to get on the show, but he lives, I believe, in Italy and could not speak English well enough that he felt that he should come to the show. But he types it well, and we've communicated back and forth for a while. And this is called What's Inside the Box by Bart Bonte. Bart Bonte, famous for Factory Balls and Sugar Sugar back in the day, those games. And this is a puzzle game. And basically there's a like a wooden looking box. And every level is just totally a different kind of puzzle. Some of them you got to press buttons to light up dots or something. One of them would be like the sliding game where you move this piece over and slide it down and move this one over and get it in the right place. Sometimes there's something hidden underneath those. Sometimes you have to use your phone as a flat surface and roll a marble across some things or into a hole. I've made it to level, I believe, 24 so far. And it really keeps your interest. They're always, some of them are really fairly simple, you know, and don't take long. And other ones, it takes a while. There's a couple of them where there's number flippers where you have to figure out what number, something is. Those are a little tricky sometimes. It does offer a hint, though. Every time, if you want to get a hint, you hit hint and you have to watch an ad, and that gives you a hint. And the ads, I don't remember seeing a video ad. It's just an app ad. So, you know, it's fine. You know, if you really can't figure it out, you can get a hint, but you got to pay for it in that way.
I got to say, this guy, just to me, this can't just be him. Because these are really smart, where you have to be crafty in order to play his games. You know, none of his games are something that anybody can just pick up and instantaneously master. But also, correct me if I'm wrong, there's no tutorial level. There's no stupid flashing things telling you what to do. There's right. There's just a split second hint, and it just drops you in the game.
Well, this just drops you on the next box, not saying anything of what it's going to be or what you have to do. You first have to figure out what you got to do, and then you got to also figure out how to get it done right. on each level.
I really do like this guy.
The ones that are shown in the, I just watched the video in case you guys are, those are very simple. For some of the, a lot of these levels are not that simple.
Okay. It's getting installed over here.
Hey.
I don't have a choice.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll like it, Dor.
I mean, it's Bart frigging Bonte. I mean, I don't have a choice, I don't think, do I?
Right. Yeah, you really have to at least try it.
Yeah, and it is
E for everyone.
Yeah, E for everyone. 13,000 reviews. Does have in-app purchases. Don't believe any ads that I can tell.
Well, there's ads for hints.
Ads for hints. Version 1.2, between 1 million and 5 million installs. Wow.
Yeah, I don't think we're the only Bart Bonte fans out there.
No, I don't think so either.
So what you might want to try, Eric, is something that I've done on my other show for people who aren't super comfortable with their English, is send them a list of questions and ask them to record the answers to the questions. They can take their time, they do it and send the recordings back, and then we can do a time-delayed interview where we ask the question and listen to his answer.
I can do that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I mean, it's been, you know, that was, I haven't talked to Bart for a couple years, back when we used to have an app developer on every couple episodes.
Oh, question number one. Bart, what would you do for a Klondike bar?
And Bart, if you ever hear this, just email us that. If we don't get around to doing all the work that Mark just said to do, you know how we are.
So I wanted to interject. Interject. Thank you. Wow, my brain just froze.
Well. We must be in some kind of paradoxical situation here, Mark. I should not be telling you a word.
What we have here is failure to communicate.
I think it's a tachyon.
Yeah, that must be it. I wanted to interject something that I can't talk about the device because I don't own it yet, but I want to ask questions of the audience about it. So I have been, as I've mentioned before, and you know, I know you're tired of me talking about cord cutting in home theater, but you know, I've got the mic and you don't. So anyway. I've been looking at on eBay, by the way, an aside from my aside, I've been looking at projectors on eBay because sometimes you can get a deal, sometimes you can get a raw deal, right? And there's all these Chinese manufacturers that say, you know, 5,000 quote lumens, not real lumens, but Chinese lumens, which means like 200 lumens. But anyway, if you see a projector that says 5,000 lumens and it's $50, it's not really 5,000 lumens. But one that I was looking at had all the numbers that I would expect. It was a no-name brand, a Chinese knockoff, but had, you know, native 720p resolution and 3,500 lumens brightness and four HDMI inputs and everything that you'd expect to pay 200-ish for. But it was priced at $89. And I thought, wow, that's too good to be true. So I didn't bid on it. It wasn't a bid. It was a buy it now. I didn't buy it now. I clicked the little watch button and I'm just going to watch and see what happens. That was a couple of days ago. Today, I looked at it again. I was seriously considering pulling the trigger and down in the really fine print that I didn't notice the first time said the shipping was $95. There you go. That's why it was $89. They were just manipulating so people who search by price would see that. So the projector was actually $200.
You're on eBay doing this?
Yeah.
Well, eBay's got price plus shipping in the sort.
Right. And I was wondering why it didn't sort correctly. You know.
Well, yeah, that's not the default.
Right.
In eBay, you have to always go purposely say no, sort it by this.
So anyway, just something to check out. But that's the aside from my aside. The original aside is. I have seen a few, not many, manufacturers who are selling projectors with Android TV boxes built in. So the little cheesy boxes that we've talked about built into a projector. And I was just wondering if anybody in our audience had any experience with one of those, because it might be an interesting combination. And the ones that I've looked at have been on the higher end of price, but also the higher end of spec. So it's not going to be, at least the things that I've seen, it's not going to be the $50 Pico projector. They seem to be high quality projectors, and they're putting in Wi-Fi, and they're putting in Snapdragon or the Amlogic processor or whatever. So anyway, that's something that I'm considering, and I just wondered if anybody in the audience had considered, or if you guys had any experience with it.
Well, I would say on that last item that you're talking about. That might be good for someone who's all in to Google and they use Google Drive so they can pull up if they have a Wi-Fi connection, they can easily pull up their PowerPoint or whatever Google Slides is or, YouTube videos, things like that on the go. They don't have to hook up a computer to it. They don't have to carry a separate thing. On your other point, I would say that you can get 3,000 lumens and be $48. But your video quality numbers are not going to be there. You're going to get 640 by resolution. Yeah. So I have a Pico projector. And Dor, did you get yours yet?
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't think I've talked to Dor about how his is. Mine is okay. Mine's 480p. Works pretty good. I mean, you can put an SD card in the side of it. It doesn't have Android capabilities, but it wouldn't be my regular go-to living room set. I mean,
if you're standing in a darkened 25 by 20 room with no lights on and you turn on a 3000 lumen projector, it should be daylight bright in there. If it's not, if it's not like full sunlight, daylight bright, you're not getting the full 3000 lumens you should expect.
So do you think that that's possible with an LED?
Yeah. I mean, if you pay enough for them. Okay. Yes. Right.
Yeah. Now the one I have is not. It's mine. The one I have is not 3,000 lumens. It may be. I could look it up. Go ahead, Dor. You tell me. You talk for a second too.
It may say that it is, but it's not. Or often what they'll say is that's peak rating, like the millisecond after you turn it on, because as they heat up, the efficiency goes down. So that's one of the way they can get away with those numbers. They'll say peak rating 5,000 lumens. You get that for less than a second.
Yeah, I'm thinking mine was like 500 lumens, but I paid $10 for it.
That's what I was going to say. Mine probably, if I had to put a number to it, around 400, something like that. We got blackout curtains for my oldest son. We put it in his room. The quality is not, it's a 40-something dollar projector, and it's about $40 worth of video quality out of it. I hooked up my old Chromecast to it, and my son seems to like it, and he watches his YouTube videos on it, so he's happy. I have seen those Android one marks, and the cheapest one I think I saw was $350 or so. And man, I gotta say, they interested me. They caught my attention, but it's the kind of thing I'm almost afraid to look directly at because I might pull the trigger.
The one I have is a $55 one. And one thing that they show, I don't know if they may even show, they kind of show it in their ad for it, is laying it on your stomach and pointing it at the ceiling above you because it's so small. This thing's just tiny. It's about the size of four cell phones stacked on top of each other. It's 1080p. Contrast ratio is only 800 to 1.
No, it can accept 1080p input. And it's 480p native resolution, I'll bet you.
Actually, it's 320 by 240 resolution native. And it doesn't even, I don't even think they say the lumens on here anywhere.
So just do a service to our audience. Native resolution is how many pixels are on the screen in the device. Okay. That's what that means. So, if the native resolution is 320 by 240, that means that, there's 320 pixels across by 240 pixels down. The input resolution can be whatever you want. You can put in quad, 4K, quad HD in there, and it will interpolate that down to 240K, 240 pixels. So that's just, if you're looking at that, manufacturers like to confuse you, especially the cheap Chinese manufacturers like to confuse people with that. And a lumen is a measure of light, but it's a scientific thing. It's how much it's light at a particular angle across a particular surface area. So it's difficult to say what it actually is.
It's the equivalent to, like, I want to say one candle's width of light from some massive distance away, but it goes up exponentially. When you get up into the thousands, that's where it gets actual bright, bright. But anything below 1,000, I mean, my wife's phone, trust me, my wife's phone laying in bed with the Facebook feed on is probably 1,000 friggin' lumen. That's how bright that thing is. But the projector I have, maybe 400 is what I'm going to say, because we have blackout curtains in his room. And even when it's nighttime, it's not bright.
And mine says in huge, all caps in the ad, in the first paragraph of the ad, need to use in dark environment. So they're not trying to hide anything.
A 60 to 75 watt light bulb. This changes, right? In an average size room, saying being about 15 by 20, a 60 to 75 watt light bulb is about 500 lumens. So just to give you an idea, right? So if you, and when you're dealing with projected light, all you see is what comes back. So depending on how good your screen is, depending on how good the surface is, you're going to get back some fraction of that light. Usually 80% or less. If it's like a matte painted wall, it may only be 40%. So if you're sending a 40 watt light bulb at it, you're going to get a 20 watt light bulb back. And if you've got a 100 watt light bulb in the corner turned on, you're not going to see much of anything. And certainly blacks just aren't going to be black. So there's going to be very low contrast. That's when things look washed out. In my previous life, I did a lot of projector work in the classroom, and I learned way more about this stuff than most people do. ANSI is the international organization. There's the ANSI lumens, but then it's the peak lumen I was talking about. That's a physics thing. And that's like a millisecond, a millimeter from the lens and the first millisecond that it's turned on, that's the peak lumens. And so they'll say, 8,000 lumens. But no, what you actually get is like a 65 watt light bulb. So if you could take a slide, like a projector slide, well, that's old.
I know what he's talking about.
Even better. And hold it to a 65 watt light bulb. That's what your 500 lumens projector is going to show you.
Okay. Well, mine's got to be mine's got to be bigger than 500, though. I mean, it seems like it's much better than a 60 watt light bulb.
And if you're in a dark bedroom, right, a 10 by 15 room with all the lights off, that's all you need. Any more than that would hurt your eyes anyway.
Well, remember they used to have, was it like a Barbie projector or something a long time ago? And this is much brighter than that. One thing I didn't even realize about that projector, I've only used it once for review purposes, and actually my wife got out. This one actually, it's battery powered, so you can charge your phone off it, or you can just run this thing for probably not very long, but you can run it without a cord, so it makes it even more quick and dirty. If you need to give a quick presentation to a bunch of people sitting next to a camper, you can run over to your car real quick, grab this projector, set it on there
doesn't last more than 12 minutes.
The very first line of your presentation is, please hold all questions till the end.
Yeah, right.
At the last slide, the very most important thing. Okay.
Oh, wait, so here, let me just pull it up on my phone then. Here, we're going to finish it right over here.
Well, you can actually buy now. I've seen them. They're essentially magnifying glasses in a box that you can put your phone in and turn it into a Pico projector.
Yeah.
Because our phone screens are pretty bright. If you put a big enough piece of glass in front of it, you can get something that can produce a 70-inch image on a wall.
Oh, yeah, I'm telling you, my wife's phone is really bright.
All right, so there was my hardware digression. I'm interested to hear what the audience has to say about the integrated Android projectors.
Would Robert Herron have talked about these yet, Dor, do you think?
I extremely doubt he would ever talk about a projector with built-in Android. He only talked about the
high-end
literally
stuff.
Like 2,000 to 20,000 projectors.
All right. Well, give Mark some ideas there. I'd love to hear it too.
Okay. Having said all of that, Dor, did I give you plenty of time to get your next app ready?
I hope it's enough time. Okay, in America, there is a thing that I think is still a fad, and that is Mr. Robot. This is a $2.99 app that I still have not brought myself to buy. Now, if you're not caught up on Mr. Robot, I'm sorry, but here it comes. Neither am I, actually. I think now I'm two episodes behind, maybe, or one episode behind. But the first 15 minutes or so of like episode 3 or 4, season 2, was like a combination of Full House and Alf.
What?
They were in the cheap car going down the street with the fake background, and then Alf was in there with them, and they had background laugh tracks and stuff. Weird. Okay, season 2 of Mr. Robot can be summed up with one word. Weird. There's some funky stuff going on. They're delving a lot more into his mental issues, or to his state of mind, let's say. They're still doing some tech. They're just not doing enough tech, in my opinion. This is a $2.99 app that I have not brought myself to buy. It's called Mr. Robot 1.51xfiltration.apk. And of course, it's called xfiltration.apk because, you know, they're a hacker. By Telltale Games, which I do believe they've made more than a couple games, only 241 downloads, mature 17 plus, no in-app ads or purchases, only a 3.5 average review, between 500 and 1,000 installs, current version 1.0.1. I'm going to say this is a new app, but I still don't see Mr. Robot fans coming out and supporting this application.
It's only got 2 reviews.
Yeah. Well, I'm seeing 4, at least 4 reviews, but more than, I mean, if this company's worth its weight in salt, I'm sure they paid some Indian kids to leave reviews.
I mean, I see lots of ratings, but on my screen, there's only 2 reviews from Matt Grossman and Heather Anderson. Interesting.
Oh, I've got 4 reviews. No, I did until I hit the side button, and then it goes to 2.
Yeah, I don't.
I got this is Ellis and Jeff Messer also.
Right. And I'll say I'm a fan of this show. Still somewhat, not crazy fan. I'm still a fan of the show, but I have never, and I will never watch extra content that's just there to pump up the show.
Right.
Let's talk to the stars. What did you think when you were doing this scene? What happened in this scene? Was that a real piece of glass? I don't watch any of that crap.
Yeah.
I don't go on any websites and watch any content in relation to the show. I have never downloaded any application in conjunction with any television show, and I don't see myself ever doing any of that stuff. When I'm in front of the TV, I want that laid-back experience, and that's it. If I wanted interactive experiences, I would not be watching television. And maybe the reviews and download counts of the show is reflected in these numbers. I don't know.
So I haven't watched even all of the first episode. I got into it late. I've been watching it on Amazon Prime, and I'm only 3 or 4 episodes in. It's interesting. After the first episode, I was like, this is one of the best shows I've ever seen. This is
the first episode will blow you away. It's kind of like Breaking Bad's first episode. It's just over the top crazy.
And then after the unnecessarily graphic male sex scene, I was like, okay, I'm less interested in this show now than I have ever been. And morality aside, it was not necessary. I don't mind sex that's necessary for the show, but at this point, I don't see why that was necessary. And it made me think, oh, pandering. That's immediately what I thought when I saw that. And now I'm not interested anymore.
I agree. If there's a reason for something, then show us it and then the reason why. They could have just showed the last second of it and then the guy getting in the shower and then him doing the phone stuff.
Right.
I don't even remember that part, but I remember the talking about it. I might have to go back and start from show 1, I guess. I don't know.
I remember it because I remember thinking, there goes a certain number of viewers are not watching this show again.
And I'm one of them. Yeah. I had a hard time getting through Jessica Jones on Netflix for the same reason. There was just so much gratuitous stuff just because, you know, it was like checking a box. Oh, we've got lesbian sex. All right, check that box. We've got interracial sex. Okay, check that box. And when I see that, it just it offends me as a movie fan, as a fan of media, not as a liberal or as a conservative Christian. That part of me can accept the fact that this is just things that people do, but it offends me because it's bad movie making.
No, I've never seen that movie. It's Jessica Jones.
Not a movie.
It's a series, 13 episode arc on Netflix. It's worth seeing, but there's a whole bunch of it that's just not necessary. All right. Sorry, I have distracted you once again. So this was from Door Eric. It's your turn.
Okay. I'm going to wait.
I'm sorry. We didn't actually talk about what the thing is. The app is a real-time game where you interact with the game and the story changes based on what you do.
Yeah. So it's almost like
you are a
member of the story now. All of a sudden, you're one of the people who's in the Mr. Robot inner circle of hackers, and you're helping communicate and do stuff. And F Society. Oh, wait. That's just the name of the group. Sorry.
All right. Now, Eric.
not just a name. It's a concept. So I'm going to bring this app. And this app comes from way back to Android app developer that I tried to bring to the show. His name's Bart Bonte. And again? This, yes.
He's a tiger, twofer, right?
He is. This is called Tap, Tap, Tap. This game is nothing like the cube game I brought, or box game I brought recently, like earlier this show. This is, I guess, kind of like, have you ever seen the toy Bop It?
Mm-hmm.
Where you've got to twist something and then hit something. It's a lot like that. It's basically kind of like Simon Says. It tells you what to do and you just got to do it. Kind of like the game Simon also, like the electronic device Simon. And it's set to a little bit of music, but you could play this without any music. It just enhances a little bit, I think, if you got the music on.
From looking at the video, it looks like you cannot do this one-handed. This is a lay the thing down on the table and use both hands.
Yeah, I probably have used only. I've probably only tried it with two thumbs. I don't think I've tried it without. Because, well, no. Sometimes you got to swipe. Sometimes, so you have to hold your device with one hand and swipe with the other, with the finger. You know, drag and drop.
No, I'm saying it with, because of the way the taps are spread across. It looks like it's designed to lay on a table and use both hands to play the game.
That would probably give you an advantage. Yeah.
Okay. This looks a little. No, I'm not downloading this game and installing it. The taps are entirely too fast.
No, you don't have to go that fast.
Well, and the only thing that came to mind, Eric, is you were mentioning the game Bop It. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing an imager posting with a kid, oh, Bop It, and he picked it up, and then it said, twist it, and he twisted it, and it said, tap it, and he tapped it, and then it said, turn it, and he turns it, and then it said, kill your mother. And he just, like, stood there and stared. This is not that. I understand the logic behind this, and I understand, I think, the appeal behind this. This is not my idea of a good time.
This is one of those frustrating games where it will make you mad because you tried to do it right and you didn't, or you swear you registered a tap that it didn't feel or whatever, things like that. It's one of those kind of games. But it does also, it's a very short, it doesn't have to last that long.
Happens and people say, the game's cheating. Why would the game cheat? What possible good could come from that?
Well, that's easy to say, Mark, but that one time I was playing Super Mario Brothers.
Do you know what? I said Italy earlier. Belgium. It says it right at the bottom of the app thing here. Bart Bonte Games is in Belgium.
I had a Bop It, and you can play back the high score by, I think, doing the twist it, and it'll each sound like a ratchet is 100, and you know, the other one, I don't remember what it was, but I had a high score. I was in the zone one day and it was over 200. And I never came even close. Typically 100 or so was about what I could do. This time I was just in the zone. And the thing I was most mad about was the one time I had to replace the batteries, the few seconds it took me to pull the battery out and put it back in, my high score went away. And so now, you know, there's no proof that I did that. There's no evidence. And now I'm a little bitter about that.
Tap, tap, tap will give you a little attaboy every time you beat your high score.
Awesome.
And I think I'm in the 50s on tap, tap, tap.
Yeah, see, only if there was a thing called YouTube back then, Mark.
Yes, if only.
For shame.
You had a Bop It as a kid?
Well, no, not as a kid. Okay. It was, you know, I was 30, but that doesn't change the fact that it meant a lot to me.
I just wondered if there was something I missed as a child, because I don't remember them as a kid.
So the original Bop It had just three. It was Flip It, Bop It, Twist It. And then the Bop It Extreme had Flip It, Bop It, Twist It, Spin It, and something else.
Had like a, and they had a Bop It or Spank It or Slap It or something. They had a pad where you had to hit it, too.
Right. That was the Bop It. Yeah.
Yeah. That and the one that you put around your ankle and you were supposed to, like, skip, both of them I wanted to just crush in my bare hands because I sucked at both of them.
I rocked the Bop It. I had them both. I even had the little keychain Bop It. That's how addicted I was.
The one around your foot, wasn't that just like a roller with a counter on it?
Yeah, and I hated it.
What? Is that a Bop It, though?
To me, it was the same kind of thing.
The same color.
It was move, child. Do what I say, you infernal child. And it just got me.
Of course, the predecessor to all that is the Simon Says with just four lights.
Let me tell you something. You watched Office Space. You saw what they did to the fax machine. That's what I did to Simon. I couldn't stand it. I suck so bad that. Because literally, three colors in and I'm already losing.
Four lights, infinite possibilities.
Yeah.
I've got a paper shredder in my office that retired itself recently, almost. It's got like some gears grinding inside of it. I want to offer it maybe out to the, I got to figure out what the most pissed off department in the city is and offer it to them to take it out into a field with bats. It may be my own office. I don't know. I should probably ask.
Yeah. And I do remember me and my brother one time, I think he tried to write down the first letter of the color and I was controlling the game itself, and we tried to beat it even that way. We sucked.
All right, something you don't suck at, Doro, is bringing apps. So what's your next app?
Okay, I honestly don't know if you guys are even going to be able to see this app. There's a
screen blacker.
Take it easy. There's a new section, at least in my Google Play, I don't know about you guys, where it basically now presents you with apps that are in beta right in my Google Play to let me check out new apps and test them out myself. And this was an app I found. It definitely caught my eye. It's called Wiz-Your Tech Assistant by Drippler. Right now it's free. There is some sort of in-app purchases I'm not sure about, but this and Mark's been around. Mark knows. We've seen this kind of service come and go at least 30 different times. The idea of the app is you install the app, you ask questions, and then experts make themselves available to help you and answer your questions when it comes to technology or any kind of tech like that. When I installed the app, it asked me if I wanted to be a tech assistant. I said yes. It said, do you consider yourself an expert? Well, I don't want to be pompous. Well, yeah. And then it asked me a couple questions. And me being me, I knew one of the questions was purposefully incomplete. It asked, my app is no longer running on my phone. What happened? And that's all it is. No other information. And the answers were like, no, and my app isn't upgrading to the next version. Well, it said the app the app upgrade was not compatible with your device. Reboot your phone. But the gimmick is, every time I've seen that issue, the way I fixed it was not one of their answers. Because with me, the only time I've seen apps not upgrade correctly, I literally have to get off of Wi-Fi and get onto 3G, 4G, or get off of 3G, 4G, get onto Wi-Fi, and then my apps upgrade. But I'm a guy who literally goes into Google Play by hand probably 10 times a day checking for upgrades. So I went through, I answered the questions the best of my ability, and I have not got any response back whether or not I'm going to be one of these whizzes, if you will. But it's one of these apps. I really do like the idea of it. I don't know if it's ever going to have any legs. I don't know if it's going to actually be successful whatsoever, but I wanted to bring it.
Okay, I'm going to sign up as a user then, just so maybe I can ask you questions, Dor.
Sure.
42. So how did you get to this strange realm of the Google Play Store? Were you invited in? Because of your prolific nature? Okay.
I literally just on my phone, I load up Google Play, and on the top banner, I get a Duolingo, Madden Mobile, some Marvel game, ESPN Fantasy Football, Farmville, something Friday, prep for new school year, Deus Ex Go. And then I have early access apps. Try apps and games in development. So I clicked it.
Oh, okay. I got it too.
Yeah. So I thought it was interesting. We'll see if it actually takes off. Right now they can't have a lot of installs. It
says 10 to 50,000.
Oh, 10 to 50,000, even more than I thought.
And in-app purchases up to $35. So I'm guessing this is an opportunity to sell your service.
So that's what
you get out of it by being a helper is you can say, hey, if you'll bring that to my shop at 1594 Main Street, I can fix that for you.
Retirement, here I come. I now have a retirement plan.
When I first saw this, I thought it was going to be Clippy for your phone. And I was ready to just quit, frankly, if you were bringing Clippy to the
show. When I saw Drippler, I was thinking for some reason that Drippler was some sort of other Android app store at one time or something. I don't know. I remember that name from something.
So I'm guessing you check into a pool of available people, and when a question comes up with your expertise, I can't remember, there was an online service that was very similar to this, and I signed up to be one of the tech experts, and I got, you know, half a dozen questions over a couple of months, and then the service went away, and I don't even remember what it was.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
There have been a lot of these services in the past, and none of them seems to gain much traction. Drippler was something, Eric. I know
the only one that really sticks with me is because it had the greatest name was Mechanical Turk. And if all of them would have great names like that, I think maybe they'd stick around longer. But then it was bought by Yahoo and they killed it, or Yahoo started it, I don't know, something.
But that's always
the one I think about.
I got an email from Yahoo recently to my Gmail account. And said, your Yahoo email account is going away soon. And I went, I still have a Yahoo email account?
No.
I had no idea. All right, Eric, let's do a little tank emptying. What do you got for us?
Okay, rapid fire roundup. This first one is a suggestion to me from Dor, and he nailed it, I got to say. He offered me the official South Park app by Comedy Central, rated M, Mature 17, free app. I'm not sure if it has any in-app purchases, but this is basically if you are into South Park or liked South Park. My family, personally, growing up with South Park, I used to have a party in my apartment every Wednesday when South Park would come on. Everybody would come over and we'd watch it because I had a satellite dish. You can do a little thing where you can make all the people talk, like a soundboard. They got soundboards for each of the characters. And then like lots of quotes, facts about each episode. A lot of behind the scenes, kind of stuff Dor says he doesn't want to see about Mr. Robot. If you're into South Park, there's so much information about all parts of the South Park show in this. And it also has a handy schedule of when the next South Park shows are coming up on Comedy Central, which is like every day they play them a couple times a day, different episodes.
Okay, but I'll say this. I don't care about any show's extra content, add-on content, related content, tangential content. But if you haven't seen an interview with Trey Parker and I believe Matt Smith.
Matt Stone.
Yeah. I encourage anyone, just watch one of their videos. Just to get a peek behind the curtain of these two fellas. Because they're unique fellas is what I'm going to say.
Okay.
And by that I mean, if they were related to me, I don't think I would talk to them because I'd be scared.
Yeah. I don't know. I think they're brilliant.
I didn't say they weren't smart. I just would be afraid to go over their house because I'm thinking any second there's going to be a police raid. I shouldn't be here.
Never seen an episode of South Park.
Oh, I think you would like it too. So you start with episode one. You just need to watch that one first. That's all I'm saying. And maybe not have your kids in the room. Okay, my next app is a VR app, and it is called Inside Abbey Road Cardboard. And this basically is a 3D tour of Abbey Road Studios, where the Beatles recorded and Pink Floyd recorded, and just tons of facts about the different studios. You can walk around the different studios, kind of see people making music as you're walking through. One of the better quality visually, I mean, the cameras were in focus. Everything looks really good in this cardboard app. Nothing too exciting, you know, nothing shooting at you or anything. Just a kind of an educational app about Abbey Road Studios.
So it says here, literally wander around the studios. Mm-hmm. Do you have to walk? How do you circumnavigate?
There's I think an arrow or something forward. You can like hover over things, get like more information on different things.
I guess I'm not.
How, you can go through a door and then you go into that. Huh?
How do you indicate? How do you make things happen? If the phone is on your face, how do you tap a button or?
No, you don't have to tap. You would hover. Like there would be like a door, and there would be a little symbol on the door, and you hover. You'll have a little pointer in your eye socket or in your eye viewfinder. And you hover on that thing, and a little circle will go around it, and it'll load it and say,
"Oh, tracking your eyes." How do you?
No.
No, it's head movement.
In the very center of your view is an invisible dot. You take that invisible dot, you highlight something with it. Timer happens, bang, the action happens.
Mm-hmm. And that's how a lot of VR things work too. That same way.
I have no experience with this, so I was just curious.
Yeah. Once you start doing VR, it's kind of. Without having a Bluetooth controller in your hand is kind of the obvious way to get it done without any kind of controllers.
Honestly, this is the first VR thing that I've said, ooh, I want that.
I didn't know that Pink Floyd recorded there. That made me more happy and more into it.
All right, what else you got?
One more. And my tank will be empty. And this is an app that I used while we were on vacation. And that's not for everybody, but... it is for some, and this is called Find Me Gluten Free. It's an app that helps you find gluten-free restaurants and places to buy gluten-free food when you're not at home. And people rate the restaurants and places and gives you maps on how to get there and all the choices that you have in the area.
Oh, Eric, I forgot to tell you. Do you know who else suffers from celiac disease?
Who's that?
Gary Johnson.
Who?
Libertarian presidential candidate Gary Johnson.
Oh yeah.
So there's something in he has in similarity with your wife
and daughter. Yeah.
And daughter. Yeah.
That's cool.
I have a friend who's got a kid.
There's
so
nothing he has in common with me, Dor.
Well, you're
nothing.
Right. You
nothing.
You haven't climbed the highest mountain in any continent.
Nope.
He's climbed them all. He's also done Ironman in Hawaii a couple times. You haven't done that.
Ever. True. Wow. Those are two great facts about him. I didn't know though.
You haven't started up your own handyman business and hired over 3,000 people.
Wow. No. Wow. Okay.
You've never been governor of a state.
Never been governor of a state. Okay. I'll just say this: I'm finding the alternate candidates interesting to at least research, and that's all of the alternate candidates. I'm just finding them interesting to research, just because they're so fundamentally. Completely different than frickin' frack. And sorry if you're a frick supporter or a frack supporter, but
I'm not either.
This is fantastic. My father-in-law went away for the weekend, long weekend, with his RV, trailer, tow behind, whatever, camper. We had to leave from work just a touch early to go to his house, pick up his miniature Dachshund hound dog to babysit him over the weekend. I bribed my wife. As soon as we got the car and got, as soon as we got the dog in the back of the car, I said, take a picture of the dog. She said, do what? I said, take a picture of the dog. She took a picture of the dog. I said, okay, now start to send that as a text to your dad. She said, okay. I said, now type in the next message. If you ever want to see your dog alive again, don't vote for Trump. And she said, I can't do that. I said, yes, you can. I'll pay you money. So I basically bribed my wife to send a trolling message like that to her father just to get a reaction out of him because, you know, it's easy.
That's fine. No, and nobody get me wrong about my Gary Johnson comment. I was just saying that, I don't know, I was being funny about a different part of his past. But no, those are good facts to know, Dora. I'm right with you. I wish we would have a 12-party system in the United States of America.
Well, the only thing I like about him isn't him, to be honest. The only thing I like about him is Bill Weld, his vice presidential candidate, who he says... we're going to share the same staff. I'm not going to make a single decision without him being in a agreement with me. He wants them to basically be co-presidents. And Bill Weld, if you hear him talk, he definitely has some brains behind him.
I watched a little of the Green Party home. What do they call that? Home grassroots room? Home. Oh. now that's Gary Johnson. Oh, yeah. What do they call it? I don't know. Home.
I can't remember. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Anyway, that thing that they did.
But yeah, Jill was very, very smart.
Yeah, I wasn't as impressed with her as I was hoping I would be, though. I don't know. Okay, enough politics.
And that's about as political as we're going to get.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not going to, like other podcasts you might listen to, we are not going to just nail one particular person over and over and over again about how much we hate them.
It's too easy. Now, here's the question, Eric. You're in a smaller town. Does this gluten, Find Me Gluten Free, actually help your wife or your daughter?
It does when we're out of town, yeah.
Oh, so you used it in our... whatchamacallit, Daytona Rockfall. Beach?
Yes, yes, we used it in Daytona Beach.
Very cool.
Yeah, now here, I doubt anything will come up. I haven't tried it yet. I could try it real quick. But I doubt that there's any...
No. Don't look for emails on the show and don't try to...
Don't try games.
Yeah, don't try to live test apps either. They're both failures.
Yeah, we find gluten-free in the weirdest places. Luckily, a lot of authentic Mexican restaurants will use real corn tortillas, which have no flour, and they work out pretty good. And the app keeps stopping. You're exactly right, Dor.
Of course. I mean, it's, you know, nothing that works right on a show.
That was it for my tank, so you go ahead and empty or go for yours.
Okay.
Yeah, I know you can't empty it, so.
Well, yeah.
There's just siphon thing. A little off.
Yeah. The first app I'm actually going to bring for you, Eric, even though it's really not. It's really not. Okay.
Oh.
It's called Mean Machines, and it's trying to be a very cartoon, almost kid-friendly Demolition Derby-esque type app, I'm going to say, because it's not really Demolition Derby. And if you load it up for 3 seconds, you'll see it isn't. You're in control of what's basically like a bumper car is the best way I can put it.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you have to, you know, smash boxes, smash opponents. You get time limits on some stages. You basically all automatically full throttle gas. Then you just steer with one hand.
Sounds just like a bumper car then.
Yeah, I did find this to be at least a little bit stupid, fun, entertaining for at least a little bit of time. I'll say that.
Hey, speaking of bumper cars, do you guys go to state county fairs or anything like that? Do you have those in your states?
No, not if I can help it.
Okay, that's wondering.
I have in the past. Haven't in a while.
Yeah, I haven't either. My deputy clerk was going to go watch the Bigfoot show tonight. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. I've not been to a fair in forever.
Too much.
I got a phone call yesterday from a guy saying, hey, the county fair's going on. Can I steal some of the flowers out of your yard? Because I have like wild prairie flowers all through my yard. And every year, I'm like, yeah, go ahead, dude. He takes them to the fair, and he makes money out of them by selling, like, the best specimens for the seeds so they can grow and stuff. I'm like, I should probably get off my butt and do something like that and make money off with my own flowers. But
just say, give me my cut.
Okay. Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah. But it's like his son, you know, 4-H kind of thing. So.
And your point being?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. There was way too much cow poop and pig poop at my quote-unquote fair for me to enjoy myself. I don't want to be eating a foot-long corn dog while smelling the aromas of animal feces.
Your Mean Machines app, by the way, Dor, is still an unreleased app.
Thank you. I did forget to mention this was one of the beta apps you can try, and it ran perfectly fine for me, no issues whatsoever.
You didn't find it unstable?
Not that I'm aware of, is what I'm gonna say. It just seemed
however, there is a Mean Machines Total Carnage app that is released, right? Same developer. And in fact, the video looks like it's exactly the same app.
Gotcha. Maybe they're tweaking it or changing it in some way. I'm not sure. Okay, this next app I'm going to bring is not in any kind of pre-release or beta or unstable version that I'm aware of, but it is another $2.99 app. So I can understand if people won't jump this one. But I will tell you, these are the kind of apps that you really should keep an eye on or use the app I brought, I think, last week called App Sales, just to keep your eye on it. This is called Hyper Burner by Bad Potion. 68 reviews, E for everyone. Again, $2.99 to buy, 4.6 average rating, 1,000 and 5,000 installs, version 1. Not even 1.0, just version 1.
you got to get it right the first time.
I guess so. This, I will say, was an excuse to spend money. This was like the old mechanic we used to see back in the day of you're going through a three-dimensional tunnel, and you have to basically go up, down, right, left, up angle, down angle to avoid obstacles. But this one definitely, absolutely, unadulteratedly, utterly kicks it up a notch graphically. Uh-huh. This to me was, to quote my passed away mother, gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. This was a game to me, $2.99, and I got $2.99 worth of oohs, out of this, because I just thought it was that good looking.
It's like an Endless Runner space dodge the asteroids and stuff game. It does say that it's compatible only with newer devices. 2 gigabytes RAM minimum is required. Or recommended. It's recommended. I'm sorry.
What's the control mechanism? Is it tilt? Is it finger on the screen?
I'm sure there was a tilt mechanic. The way I did it, I believe, was just one button, one finger on the screen, moving it up, down, left, and right kind of thing to avoid. And the best way I can describe this to us older folks is if you were to escape the Death Star in a modern movie, it would look closer to this than what we saw back in the day. When they were inside of the Death Star and had to escape in Return of the Jedi. Even if you're not a gamer, I really do encourage you at least go look at this video. And there's a good Google opinion rewards reason to buy the app because it's free money. And I just got to say just real quick, I find it comically hysterical that we literally talked about Google opinion rewards for nearly a year before I heard any other podcast mention it. Now, in the last 6 months, I've heard at least 4 other podcasts mention it. I just think it's hysterical, and it's hysterical how some other shows say the hardest part of doing this show is finding apps. What? No.
Well, because it's all tech writers who just talk about what they wrote about earlier that week. That's the easy part of the show.
Because they don't actually do any research. I mean, you want to know how much research I do a week? I mean, it's literally 8 minutes, maybe 20 minutes. And then when I see an app I really like, I really play with it for at least 10 minutes. But there's no work involved with this. That's like saying, you know, I have a hard time finding oxygen on this planet Earth. It just happens to be everywhere, you know.
The hard part about driving is just pushing that gas pedal.
I have to read one of these reviews.
You're going to read Max Matt's review, aren't you?
In dramatic fashion.
All right.
Boobies! They're great! This is better! If Wipeout and Return of the Jedi Trench Run had children, this would be their favorite! Farkin' exactly what I've been looking for! Perfectly realized controls, beautiful graphics, and a soundtrack that screams for headphones! Buy this, or they won't make any more! Seriously!
Very well done, Mark.
I had to read that.
I'm going to start writing, I broke writing door. Reviews. He's broken. I'm going to start writing reviews before I bring them, just so you can read them.
I can't add anything more. That's it.
Is that it? Your tank's empty?
I don't have anything else. I can't.
Boobies!
Whoever wrote that review, you need to show up to a conference because I need to buy you a beer.
Max. Yes, Max Matt needs to go to a conference.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. Well, I guess if you're not going to bring another app.
So after he said that, so I'm like, well, maybe Bad Potion wouldn't make any more. And this is their app. They did version 1.0, kicked its butt, perfect app. They never had nothing before, and they haven't had anything since.
Well, it was updated August 2nd, so it's not old and has less than 5,000 installs.
Oh, well, you know, unlike other shows, I bring fresh new apps. Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
I love that their email is hyperburnergame@gmail.com. That speaks of class right
See,
there.
They put it all in, man. All in. Way to go, Hyperburners.
That's dedication.
$3 per download, and they couldn't buy a $12 a year domain name.
Well, they hadn't sold any at the time. Now they probably can.
1,000 installs, $3, right? $3?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
$3,000. Google keeps 1,000, $2,000. Then after taxing and processing, at least 1,003. At least.
And it's better than boobies. All right. Thanks for hanging out with us, folks. Dor, Eric, as always, thank you for letting me be with you. This is my favorite part of Thursday night between 9 and 10:30 every week.
Exactly. And thank you for never saying we have went a bit over. We went a little bit long. We're running out of time. Thank you for never saying that, because that's one thing that really does drive me nuts about some podcasters.
Well, we're at like 1:15 right now, so this is bordering on mini-series status, but that's okay. We're fine with that.
We don't get charged for going over. In fact, yeah. There is no over.
Yeah, I've had that discussion repeatedly because the Geek Rant show can tend to go pretty long, and people are like, the show's too long. Well, I mean, when you're done listening, turn it off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, if when you get to work and there's more podcasts to go, you can listen on your way home. That's how that works.
That's the beauty of podcasting. You don't. It's not like you have to sit in your car because the AM show isn't over yet, and there's no way to possibly hear it from your car to the house.
So I found myself at a tire store waiting to get a new tire, and I could either sit in their uncomfortable plastic chairs and listen to Muzak, or I could go out and sit in my own car and listen to podcasts for an hour. So that's what I did. That's the beauty of podcasts. They anywhere you go.
I love my tire store's got really comfortable chairs.
Well, I it's a little far for me to drive for comfortable chairs. Okay, that's it. Thanks again, folks. Listeners, go to podnuts.com. Send an email to aaa@podnuts.com. If said email in the subject line has the word cardboard in it, Eric, who's going to be paying attention this week, is going to collate all of those, and we'll give away a free cardboard next week. All you got to do to enter is send an email to aaa@podnuts.com that has the word cardboard in the subject line. Also, you can go to patreon.com/androidappaddicts and slip some financial love to Dor for this show. He puts his heart and his soul into this every week. And, again, as I've said before, the money is nice, but the standing up and being counted is even nicer.
We do have actually one email with a question in it.
Oh, did I miss that one?
Yeah, from Ben Larson. We'll address it first thing on the next episode.
I don't have that one in my in-basket.
My bad. It's my fault, Ben.
So that's it, Dor. Any final words of wisdom before we say goodnight?
Thanks, everyone, for their support, and I hope you have a good week.
Eric, take us out.
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. And Patreon, Amazon.com/Amazon, or podnuts.com/Amazon. Next week, I think the email referred to our kind of mini thing that... was that on this show or was it on the other show where somebody had been, three times in 1 week, people came up to me and said, hey, my Fire Stick gets everything. Yeah. My hacked Fire Stick, you can watch everything. So we will come back with an answer for that next week too, if that wasn't the email.
That appeals to me, a hacked Fire Stick. That sounds interesting. I will be listening as a fan to that show. So we'll see you next week, because that's it for this episode of Android App Addicts.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.